Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, July 31st, 2014, last day of July. We have three more days of our intensive here. It ends up on Saturday. It has flown by, and we have done some tremendous work. And so if you're interested in taking your work to the next level, you might want to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org, and click on schedules and see what we have going on. We are currently working on the remainder of our schedule. We head north first and go to Woodstock with Dr. Tim, and then we head over to Lansing or Grand Rapids and then Lansing with Rex, and then we head back down to Tennessee and Birmingham, Alabama, and then into Florida. So it's all coming together, so you might want to check the website and see what the schedule is. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1. That puts you in queue to talk to us. And like I say every day, we'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Hello, Michael. Are you there? Well, it shows the two are on, so I'm going to hand him my phone and let him talk on it. His phone is not working right, apparently. And so there's not a blank space. Just silence in the air while you all are just sitting there listening. So Michael will be with us here in just one moment. And technical difficulties, what can we say? So anyway, we do welcome you to the show. While we're waiting on Michael to join us, for those of you who aren't familiar with their work, it's based on the Aramaic forgiveness, which is not letting another person off the hook for something that's going on inside of you. But it's going inside of you and taking care of what's going on there. For instance, say you and I interact and I become angry, then letting you off the hook does nothing to address my anger. So forgiveness out of the Aramaic means I'm going to go inside and address my anger. And if I remove it, then the tissue that is impacted by that energy can also go back to total health. So here is Michael.
Welcome to the show. We're delighted and excited that you're joining us. I don't know what was happening, but our host line just gives us a dead airspace. So that's kind of strange. It's the first time that one's ever happened. We've run into lots of technical difficulties after the last 4 years, and it's amazing what this technology will do, and it certainly is more fun when it works. But in any event, we're just honored in the last that you choose to join us and that we get to expand our understanding and application of this first century Aramaic technology that is a technology to mind that is so many light years ahead of what the world is doing today that it is mind-boggling and you go back and look at what was understood 2,000 years ago and how far away from a true understanding of what's going on. And one of the things I'm really starting to comprehend is that we are moving farther and farther and farther away in our intellectual world and with our head knowledge from the way this energy system called life works. And our process here is to remove the blocks to the awareness of the truth of who we are. And that means perhaps 1,000 generations of creeping, insane thinking, that is, loveless thinking. Our definition in this work of insanity is that of, well, we've got two definitions. We love Einstein's definition. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But from the point of view of this work, an insane mind is a mind without the active presence of love. And when you start looking past through the history of humanity, you see that we creep farther and farther and farther away from a true understanding of how this world of human beings, of real human life, operates. And as we creep away from that, we creep into an intellectual world that is so bizarre that so many things can be rationalized by those who live in that world because they have been removed from the sense and the sensibility of their human lives. And so what we're looking to do is to support and restore in ourselves and every community that we touch the truth and the true connection with the truth of who we are as human beings. And we have a very simple experiential definition of a human being. It's really very straightforward. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what human life is. And when you recognize that human life, we have to socialize and structure a child into a way of perceiving and into a way of so-called thinking that really isn't thinking at all. It's really being lost in a brainwash. And so we brainwash our children to come into a reality structure like the one we have, one that does not admit the actual presence of love. And when I say admit, I mean let in. Does not allow the actual presence of love. We talk about it as some kind of an intellectual concept and some sort of a warm and fuzzy feeling, but love is not that at all. Love is the truth of who we are. It is our essential nature. And forgiveness allows us to remove that creeping insanity that's taken 1,000 generations to get us where we are and to go back to our source, to go back to the truth of who we are. So that's our project. That's what we're here to do. We're delighted that you're here to support and share and understand and question and think about and bring forward objections to what we're teaching, because every one of those objections opens a new space, a new level of understanding. Of course, with every objection that we have, we're going to be asking the speaker to be responsible for the condition of their own mind. If one lives in a mind where every time they approach something, they can't rule the roost and have to criticize and condemn someone who doesn't happen to go along with everything they say, then we're going to reflect back and invite the person who has that kind of a mind to be responsible for the output of their own mind rather than blaming whoever they're looking at. The game of the loveless world is blame. You made me. Why are you doing this to me? It's all your fault that I'm feeling this. And, you know, I just love to invite people to think about the person they're currently blaming and how long they've known that person. Or maybe they don't even know that person, but they're still blaming them. And they're blaming them for a condition that was in their mind long before they met that person. And those who rail against life, you know, I meet somebody and they don't happen to kowtow to my desires, and I rail against them, and why are you doing this to me, and why are you making me feel this way? And I say to the person who would say that, if you're currently blaming your reality on someone, think back to a week before you met that person, if you've even met them, And I asked me honestly, were you railing against somebody else? And then think about when you met that person you were railing against before your current person. Were you railing against, someone else? We're going to invite everyone to notice and own the contents of their own mind. And if you apply the tool of forgiveness, then you'll remove that trauma. And you'll feel safe to come out into the world and to speak up. And to speak up truly from the point of a mind connected to love. And I offer that's when human life begins. And we are here to support the real, true expression of human life in every person on the planet. And so we're delighted to be sharing this time with you. And, Gene, we have Dr. Tim on the stage. Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim and see how that young man be. Are you there, Dr. Tim?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing beautifully, thank you. It's a delight to be here and share this time with you and the audience and get a chance to rehash and remember and practice and pick apart some questions about the fundamental process of anything I need to do to stay consciously connected to my nature as love. So it's a privilege to be able to do the work I do, and it's a blessing to have found these tools and be able to integrate them into that work. So I have a lot of gratitude for how well tooled, how well they're helping people that I work with, and how well they're helping me get through all of the potential triggers and inconveniences of a move and construction and deconstruction and reconstruction. And I have really been spontaneously moved to say probably 30 times in the last 2 weeks, boy, am I glad I have these tools.
Now, I agree with that. We were kind of discussing that also in the intensive, how people that don't have these tools, you know, what they do, how can they, you know, even begin to uncover and, you know, work through, just say, like the power person issues, which is what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, that was a day for the file folder effect. I had the diagram out three different times yesterday out of eight different patient sessions. Three of them were dealing with that issue and wondering how long will it take before I don't have to deal with this anymore. And I said, well, I don't know. How long have you been dealing with it already? And how big would you imagine your file folder is on this type of impatience or anger or submissive relationship or fear of communicating what you're thinking? And for each one, it was quite an eye-opener.
It's amazing, isn't it, how the denial system works. And when we're confronted with evidence that we're willing to receive, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I didn't realize that. But until we're willing to receive that evidence, that information, and that input, it's amazing how powerfully the mind can pretend, because of its denial, can hallucinate a world where it's all somebody else's fault. It's just amazing. And, you know, to me, that's one of the feedback pieces to give people is, how many times have you dealt with this with how many different people? Stop lying to yourself that it's this new person that you just met, or as I said earlier, maybe you haven't even met them yet, and you already know all about their lives and what they're doing to you and what they're going to do to you, and you already know better than everybody else how it should go. And, you know, it's just the insanity of the mind that is not fueled by love, and it's just amazing to watch.
Well, and it resonates lots of joy in me and contentment. And I really like many different aspects of the poem from Rudyard Kipling. You familiar with that poem, If?
It's been a while. Share it with us.
Well, the poem has so many different layers to it. It starts out with, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. And that's been one of the big things for me lately, is to be able to watch how I've been able to stay in that calm, loving space when people around me that I would normally expect to have tools and have maturity and they're throwing tantrums. And I've thought of this poem a number of times, but it goes on to say,
yes.
If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. That's one of my favorite lines.
That's a powerful one, isn't it?
And the recognition that, you know, these outside events don't make me any better than anyone else or less than anyone else. We're all the same. And triumph
yeah.
and disaster are just our labels for events which we can use to either pump ourselves up or tear ourselves down, and it's the same side of the same coin, or just opposite sides of the same coin. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be truly human, my son and daughter. I changed the last few words, but...
Yep. Right on track. What a great description of human life and people who haven't acquired one yet. Sit around and they're whining and complaining and find somebody else to blame it on. And just having the tools to keep moving in that direction of that true human life is an amazing thing.
Well, I'm grateful to have been exposed to them and for your support in learning them and for the ongoing opportunity to participate in this project. And it's been paying huge dividends for me the last few months, and that's my sharing for today.
Awesome. Awesome. Much appreciation for that input. And I certainly join you in gratitude. Who it was that said, if you but pray one prayer and that prayer was gratitude, that would be enough. One of the spiritual giants from the past, but I'm not remembering the name of the person who said that, but gratitude is definitely a powerful energy that comes from the soul, that comes from being. And, you know, one of the objectives of this work is when we're in the middle of our muddle as non-humans and can own that, when we're in our sadness, our rage, our guilt, our grief, our criticism, our blame, our finding somebody else at fault, and we can begin to pull human attributes into that experience. Gratitude is one of them. Compassion is another. The active presence of love is a major piece of bringing that human life into awareness and into expression. That's, and each tool is designed to bring us to that direct experience. And then when we have that direct experience, then we become a source and a fountainhead of human life and the support of that human life for others. And to me, that's the idea of taking it out into the world and forming community. And with the willingness to do our own work, I love how Kipling in there kind of cautions, don't get too big for your britches. You still got your stuff to deal with too, you know. I hear that warning in there. And, of course, I have to keep remembering to apply it to me so that I remember. And it is pretty awesome to have the tools. And by the way, anyone who has not accessed or used the forgiveness tool. And the idea of using the forgiveness tool is you look at the current object of attention that you're pointing upset at. You stop pretending that your upset has anything to do with them, but you recognize that your mind is programmed with realities that focus on how, well, what they said is the problem. What they did is the problem. Look what you said to me. You don't listen to me. You don't, you know, whatever the story is that your mind tells, stop. Ooh, I have an object of attention, and I'm thinking thoughts that put responsibility for my pain, my turmoil, what I'm feeling outside of me. Ah, that's the definition of denial. When I think, gee, what you just said made me, whatever the word is, I'm in denial. And to me, this is such a huge, huge piece to understand. Denial means that I dissociate from the root of my pain. And when I dissociate from the root of my pain, I can no longer change that part of my mind. Part of my mind I am totally cut off from, and no matter how much intellectuality, no matter how much intelligence, no matter how much genius I bring to it, that part of my mind now will resist all forms of critical, analytical thinking. It will resist all wishes for change, all the hoping that I want to do. Remember that song a few years ago, wishing and hoping and praying and planning? You can wish and hope and pray and plan that the dissociated part of your mind will change and you'll stop feeling that way till the cows come home. Until you can embrace that part of your mind directly and heal it. And that means that you take the forgiveness process, and there's one tool I know of on the planet that systematically, persistently, and consistently, if applied, will consistently put you in touch with the dissociated part of your mind and bring healing to it. I only know of one tool, and that tool is called forgiveness. There are other tools that help us to approach that. But there's the one tool that directly takes us there. And, you know, Dr. Tim, as you're talking about appreciation, my appreciation reaches back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago because he presented that tool. He gave it to us in first century Aramaic. The Greeks, not understanding it, threw it away and turned it into something else. And the tool is called forgiveness. And it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with me letting you off of the hook because of what's happening inside of me, which this world teaches. Oh, you just forgive them. You let them off the hook. because you're in pain. Well, if you let somebody off the hook because you're in pain, you're not going to change the root of your pain. You're trying to solve an internal problem by doing something in the external world. It's never going to happen. But when you take that tool, let's say the person that you're currently blaming for your upset, you know, you write to them, well, you just do this to me all the time. So you stop and you put their name and number 1A in the worksheet. And then people always do this to me is the situation, or she or he is always doing this. How do I feel? I feel hurt, enraged. Well, if I feel hurt, enraged, I now have two different worksheets to do. I want to split that worksheet into two and then take the hurt and use that as one of the focal points and the rage as the other focal point. And then go through the whole process. What do I want from this object of attention? Oh, I want them to honor me. I want them to listen to me. I want them to, what might be some of the other goals at time here, I want them to see me as intelligent or worthy. And these are all different issues that we tend to have. And so let's say it's, I want them to see me as worthy, then I'll tap into and acknowledge that I'm willing to heal this. I'm willing to go through this process that's going on inside of me. And then I, in step number 4 in the worksheet, forward, purposely, consciously, the active presence of love. And then in step number 5, I cancel the need for them to honor me, which seems totally ridiculous. But when I cancel that need, what happens is I collapse my mind outputting from its dissociated state, and I open the space for me to contact directly that dissociated content. And once I access, while maintaining the presence of love in me, which I've put in, or I've done in step number 4, once I access that dissociated content and expose it to love, it simply begins to dissolve. And as it begins to dissolve, I get free of it. Then, having canceled the goal, I'm going to ask for support, because when you look at the issues in your life, you know, in 99.999% of the cases, if we get with somebody and we get them to lay out their issue really clearly, really crisply, and then we go back and interview their parents, one or both parents had the same issue and never worked through it. If we interviewed their grandparents, 1, 2, 3, or all 4 had the same issue and never worked through it. If we interviewed their great-grandparents, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or all 8 had the same issue and never worked through it. And so if I recognize I've got something that goes back generations, I don't have the processing capacity, so to speak, to go back through all of that. But what Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago is that there was a power in you called, in Aramaic, Ruach HaKodesh, a literal feminine elemental force in you that when invited into activity undoes the effects of your errors and teaches you the truth. So you invite that power. In Aramaic, that elemental force was called Ruach HaKodesh. You're now in the context of this worksheet, and the worksheet is available if you go to www.whyagain.org, click the bullseye in the middle of the page. The second link, is the worksheet itself. So in 5A, I've canceled the goal to collapse my projection, to collapse my mind's ability to use my own dissociated content to create the world of pictures that I see that I think are actually out there. And as I collapse that, I then invite this super processor, so to speak, this feminine elemental force to move in me and to reach all the way down to my genetic toes to move through this issue.
So I open a whole different space. And to the depth at which I'm willing to really have this healed, and what that means is that I can say, you know, oh, I really want to heal my rage. But if there's a part of my mind that holds on to, well, you know, if I run across that Charlie guy again, I'm going to really need my rage to protect myself, then I'm not willing to let go of my rage. So my rage isn't going to go. And my rage will become the defiler of my perception, the defiler of my cell, the defiler of my emotions, the defiler of my whole life, my own rage. So if there's some part of me that says, well, I need to keep a little of that in reserve just in case, then I'm not willing to let it go. And so it's going to stay right where it is. That elemental force cannot trespass upon your choice. You've got to be really, truly willing to let it loose and let it go. And then having done that and invited that elemental force into activity, and, you know, it's been known by many different names. On the worksheet, there's a blank there. We do put the Aramaic words in place so that people have a sense of the Aramaic, and I suspect there is a vibratory, energetic influence to use the Aramaic term, and in Aramaic, it's Ruka Dekudcha. I invite that elemental force to go to work in me, to undo the effects of my errors, to restore me to love, to process me right down to my genetic toes. And so as I make that request, that energy starts to move. The only limit on how that energy moves is my willingness to have it moved. And then, having done that, I want to go back and look at what kind of a goal I could create toward whoever I've been blaming in this situation, a goal that would come from love. And as I restore that loving goal to my mind, that takes me to the next level of being able to receive that level of support. And it's just an amazing, awesome process. Believe that. Well, no, that doesn't make sense to me. Oh, yeah, that doesn't fit. No, I can't buy that. It's like, okay, don't buy any of it. There's nothing here to buy. I have absolutely nothing for sale here. It's on the website. It's free. Go for it. Don't believe a word I've got to say. Just put it to work. Try it. Just do it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it at all. Just give it a shot. Watch what happens. People are just amazed what they drop into and what they clean up in their minds and how their lives change. It's pretty amazing. So we're delighted to be here supporting each and every person that's listening. And do you have any other thoughts before we check on callers of the chat room, Tim?
I feel complete. It's a good reminder what you're saying, and it's one of the things I really like about it is we're really not trying to sell anybody anything, and we're just offering it as a tool. If it works, great, use it. So I'm very pleased with that.
For sure. So Denny, do we have anything happening in the chat room, any conversation to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? Our call-in number, of course, is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, if you're on one of those stations that we can't see in our control panel, then we invite you to call that number. If you push 1, that'll put your hand up in the phone queue. Jeannie will introduce you. Anything happening, sweetheart?
A hand just went up. 864, cool. You're on the air.
Hey, Jenny, Michael, everyone, how are you? This is Marianne in the Carolinas, and I have a friend with me. And
hey there, young lady.
Oh, hi. Michael, say hi to Andrea. Hey, Michael, I was sorry about this. But I'm so glad to say hello to you. And
hello there, young lady. Your phone's cutting in and out a little bit, but good to hear your voice. I hope all is well in your world.
All is very, very well. I'm just, it put me on air. I got out of the car, and I get to be global. What do you know?
There you go. Hey, what an isn't technology amazing? So, Marianne, what do you have on your mind today?
Michael, I just in the headset. What is it that you said? I couldn't hear.
I say, what did you have on your mind today?
All good things. I talked with a friend who's definitely committed to going to Heartland, and so she'll be flying in on the 22nd, and I was talking with Andrea. She's shaking her head yes. She wants to go as well. So very excited about that.
One of the things that excites me in particular about this Laws of Living class is how many teachers are going to be there. It's pretty awesome. And so I'm really delighted and excited at the energy space. One of the things we were talking about in the class here the other day was, you know, there were several people who touched into that experience of that direct active presence of love and how people who are doing their work create an energy vortex for others who are in that space to have an easier time of making that leap. And so I'm really excited about the way Laws of Living is coming together, to be having you there, to be having Susan there, to have Rex there, to have Michelle there, to have all of these teachers who are active in really making it happen in the world, and what kind of support that will be for each person who comes who's maybe just starting to do their work and starting to move in that direction. So it'll be a pretty cool space.
Very exciting, yes. So it's nothing like seeing the results with somebody who's just been introduced to it and they're ready to come. So that's pretty great. I'm so excited about the two people I've recruited.
Yeah, that's cool.
It just feels great.
Yeah, some of the other people that will be teachers that will be there, Julie will be there, Julie Haverstick. Patrick Quinn's going to be there. He's made a commitment to do it. And so it's going to be an awesome group, and I'm really looking forward to the kind of space that's created. We have never had that many active teachers in one room at a time in Laws of Living, so it's going to be pretty fabulous.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, anything else on your mind? Questions, thoughts, answers, ideas?
Well, I know that the other day we talked about radiation and absorption, and I still need to get that clear in my mind. Could you enlighten me a little bit about that?
Sure. When I offer that thought, what I'm offering is that when you think of yourself, your own energy field, and you know, each of us lives in our genetic history, in our environmental awareness, in our awareness or unawareness of ourselves. And so we have this particular energy field that gives us a way of looking at the world and dealing with the world. And then when a teaching such as Yeshua's comes in, we get the chance to absorb that. We bring that energy into our field. So it's traveling from the outside in, and it is, as you've noticed, a huge influence and huge impact when you're given the tools and you're given the understanding. As you're absorbing that, it has a huge impact on the way it shifts your whole field and the way you function, the way you see the world, the way you think, the way you process, the way you forgive. It influences everything. But then, to take it to the next level, now we've done absorption. So here I am taking it from the outside in, and now that I've taken it in and I've done what I've done with it inside of me, when I begin to radiate it, when I begin to send it out, it has a whole different impact on my field. It creates a whole different imprint in my energy field and impacts it in a totally different way. So that's what I'm speaking about, the difference between absorption and radiation. And, you know, I love how Richard Bach says that we teach best that which we most need to learn, and we will resonate and gravitate to us people who will show us the issues that we have. And when I have an issue that's up in my face and I'm absorbing information, there's a certain piece of healing that's going to happen there. But when I take it to the next level of I've got that person who's in my face, who's bringing up my stuff, and I radiate truth out through my own stuff in their direction, it has a whole different influence on my field. It changes me in a different way. It heals me in a different way than the absorption of that same energy does. Is that clicking and making sense?
Yes. Very clear. Thank you.
So that's what I mean when I talk about the difference between being students and then for everybody who's going to take it to the next level in their lives, they have to become the teacher. Because that radiation is like, it's like the finishing touch. You know, you create a gift. You know, we've been getting lots of, maybe you could put your mute button on. We've been getting lots of food analogies with Ari being here at Heartland. And to put it in terms of a food analogy, you know, we have this awesome dish and it's just fabulous and it's right and it's ready. And we put the finishing touch on it. We put the finishing oil on it. We put the garnish on it. Radiation is what does that for our own healing process. As compared to absorption, which is powerful, but there's a whole different impact when the energy is going in the opposite direction and becomes radiation instead. So that's why we want to inspire people to teach, whether, you know, even if it's just someone who one-on-one works with others, they're engaging in that radiation and it makes the difference of night and day.
Right. Michael, which one is the mute button?
Well, that would be on your phone.
Okay.
I don't know on your phone.
Okay, I'm just going to hang up then. I haven't really figured that out yet. So thanks so much.
No need,
talk to you.
No need to hang up. Just go for it and listen. Jeannie can mute you from where she is, so that's no problem. No need to hang up. We're delighted that you're with us.
Okay, great. Thank
cool.
you.
Blessing. All right. So, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room? Anybody else for the hands up?
No, there are no other hands up. And Michelle and I are the only chatters in the chat room. Everybody else is a guest. So it's really quiet today. So if someone presses one, you're in line without waiting.
And for those who are guests in the chat room, I will offer that you can join the conversation in the chat room through a simple registration process. It's just a very simple ABC registration process that if you choose to, then you can communicate. You can take your interaction in the chat room to the next level from only being able to listen to where you can also converse and share your thoughts with us or ask your questions. And you know, sometimes people think I'm new to this. I don't know anything. My question is so elementary. There are no elementary questions. Every question around this work helps to open an understanding for even the most advanced of teachers. I know that I get many, many gifts. We had an interaction in our intensive back several days ago, and it was an extended conversation that there was one person in the class that wasn't really into or interested in the conversation and considered it to be a disturbance and spoke about we encourage and support. But out of that conversation from where I sat, I got a whole other piece of the puzzle on and actually came up with a new piece of the work out of that conversation. So everybody's question is a gift. And so if you have one, without any waiting, you'll be next in line. And, you know, if you're nervous, I'm going to be on the radio, my voice will quiver, I don't know if I can do this. Let go of it. Go ahead and push the button. Push one, and you'll be in the phone queue. And we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear your question. And if
we have a hand up.
Oh, go for it. Great. Cool.
Area code 336. You're on the air.
This is Joan from Greensboro.
Hey, welcome, and, young lady.
Hi. And something happened when I was visiting my mother-in-law. It was the middle of a really nice meal, and she, and out of the clear blue sky, she started really complaining about me, and just, and it came from almost not like nowhere. She just started, you know, just criticizing me, and for things past, like past infractions of around being late. And at the time, I was able to remember, the, you know, the loving thoughts, and I really kept my balance. I thought I kept my balance. And I was able to even admit to her that that had been a problem my entire life, and I had disappointed people and myself many, many times, and it was disrespectful. And I thought I was, and I even talked to Marianne about how I thought I had done, you know, kind of kept my balance and all. But then it cropped up some more about how, like, where does the line go that where you say to somebody, you're being disrespectful to me by saying that, and being able to see that they're your friend by pointing it out?
Well, my take in that regard would be, if I'm in some sort of turmoil, if I'm in pain, if I'm in fear, if I'm in sadness or anger, then I have work to do. And the fact that I have work to do around that issue doesn't mean that right here, right now, I can't say or express the fact that what they're doing in the space they're doing is disrespectful. So in the very moment, I can, you know, acknowledge to myself, I've got some work to do around this, and I'm pretty clear about it, and I'm going to do my work. And this behavior isn't appropriate. And it's perfectly acceptable. And the best space I can do it from is where I'm connected to love, but it's perfectly appropriate for me to be able to acknowledge that, speak about that, and hold that person accountable for what they're doing that is inappropriate.
Okay. Can you say some more about it? Like, I guess you've said enough, but...
Well, I'm sitting at the dinner table, and I have an issue, you know, as I understood it, it was the issue of being late. So I have an issue, and I recognize I have that issue, and I have somebody who's sitting at the dinner table, and they're whining about me. You know, it's otherwise a pleasant meal, and they're whining about me and my lateness. It's perfectly appropriate for me to say, you know, I had some disturbance. I have some, you know, geez, I tap into this. When you talk like this, as I'm sitting here at the table with everybody else and we're having a pleasant meal, it feels like I'm being centered out. And so, and I have some fear about that. So I recognize my fear. And I'm going to work on cleaning up my fear. And in the meantime, it's inappropriate. You know, if you want to process that with me, I'll tell you what. How about after dinner we create the space to look at that issue, process it. Maybe you can support me in healing it because it has been an issue all my life. It's been a challenge for me, and I'm not sure what's at the root of it. And in the meantime, I'd offer that it's inappropriate for you to be disturbing everybody's meal with this conversation. And so I'm going to invite you to let go of the conversation. Maybe you've got some work to do around this issue, too, because I notice you're getting a little irritated and a little hostile. And so I'm going to invite you to look at your part in this. You know, one of the parts of the intensive that we're doing right now, where it's a communication practice. And in fact, that's our project today, is to take another look at responsibility communication. So it's perfectly appropriate for me to own what's going on for me, and at the same time, I don't have to sit there while I own what's mine. I don't have to sit there and accept someone else's abuse.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, actually, it was just the two of us, and we were in the middle of a lovely, lovely, lovely meal. And actually, when I visited her, I was actually on time because I know she's careful about time. So I was being extremely respectful of her. I was even like 15 minutes earlier than I told her I would be there. And so it wasn't an issue this particular time, but she was like dragging up. Well, anyway, you've helped me understand.
Yeah, holding somebody accountable when, you know, I can own that I have an issue, but, you know, looks to me like you have an issue too. I invite you to look at and deal with your issue, and I tell you what, I'm committed to dealing with mine too.
Yeah, but I guess at the time what I could have said, I guess what I could have said to her is what I did say, I could say all that, what I said, and then I could also say that it was hurtful for me to have her bring this up at that particular time while we were in the middle of a lovely meal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like
possibly
can,
that
I
would have been the conversation I could
have. Yeah, it's reasonable for me to confront the inappropriateness of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Elena, great question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Blessings. Anything else we can support you with?
No, not today. Not right now.
Okay. Much appreciation. Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings to you.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
Would you have an... You have another caller. If my except my cursor's frozen and I can't get over there to turn him on, it's Rex. So hold on a minute. Let me see what's going on with my computer here.
Technology.
I don't know what's going on here. My cursor's totally froze. I can't move it to turn him on. There it goes. Hold on. All right. Hi, Rex.
Hey, Jamie.
Technology. I know I'm calling in. I don't know what's going on today with the with Blog Talk. You know, the last couple of days the show wasn't even scheduled. It's normally automatically scheduled by computer. We were blocked out. We had to get it started mechanically, and then today I called in on a special number. That's the host line, and the host line on my phone was totally blank. I'm calling in on the guest line just like you are. That's how I finally got on, Rex. So technology is. It's a blessing, and sometimes it gives us opportunities to learn forgiveness.
It gives me a lot of opportunities. I don't know about you. great conversation. The last caller, when she was talking about her mother introducing that at dinner, and just all of a sudden, out of the blue, it just the law of resonance came into my mind, and how she handled it sounds like she did really well. I mean, it sounds like she remembered to breathe, although she didn't say that out loud. But the thing that I thought was valuable to hear also is that being a person, Rex, in the past, I wouldn't receive feedback very well, and especially critical feedback. And the laws of living and doing this work has helped me learn how to garnish the vitality in criticism, even when it's projected. And so I will have something to learn from that because I'm in the experience, even if it's just to learn how to presence love a little better, you know. But I'll always have, it's always got something of value, and the key is that I'm presencing love, and then I can derive the value. Then I will pull out of my content something of value as to what the criticism was. That was one part. And the other part was acknowledging that she had raised her vitality to a point where her mother, evidently, whether it was a pattern or not, felt comfortable to just bring it right out and allowed her to look at what she was feeling and thinking and experiencing. And so there was a lot of different levels of, you know, potential there, and it sounds like she did great. But those are the two points that I thought were important, because quite often in our work, we get kind of excited about when we start to see that, oh, it is something that's happening in me and I'm being triggered. Well, there's also other qualities to it that are happening. It isn't just that it's a trigger and a negative thing. It also can be resonating with how well we're taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves or embracing ourselves in our own love. So those are the two points that I wanted to make in that last conversation.
Cool. Yeah, good ones. And actually, you resonate another one, and this came up in our intensive just the other day, that I've worked over the years, and I'm sure you've seen it too, with many, many, many people, and just asking a question of their power person put them in jeopardy. That if the instructions were not perfectly understood the first time, and a question needed to be asked. That, and that seems to fit in on the receiving end for the person who you can't ask them a question and they go ballistic. It fits in with that criticism type of thing, and or a power person dynamic where, as a child, they had to receive instructions and fully understand those instructions first time, which, of course, is ludicrous for an adult with, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years experience at something, and they give a five-year-old child an instruction and expect the child to understand that instruction on the same level that they do. And I've seen a lot of people traumatized just by that, to the point where they won't even ask questions. They just sit mute when... You know, there could be some really good questions asked. So another aspect.
Good. That's good. That's definitely. And it resonated with me, too, that whole thing you're just describing. I had with my father. I mean, he appeared to have such an expectation of me doing it really well and that I should learn it really fast because that's how he perceived himself. But underneath it, he was very insecure that he didn't learn really well, you know. So there was those dynamics. And you just triggered that in me as well. So very, very good.
Yeah, thank you. Many people live under that strain and stress of the power person's insecurity at being asked a question. And again, the expectation just that, and I think it tends to be generational, the expectation that unless somebody breaks the cycle, that the five-year-old should understand on the level that I'm speaking it right now as an adult with 25 years experience. It's like, and it's ludicrous to think the five-year-old would understand it. And a lot of people, I think, cut short their learning because of that, too, because they've learned they're not allowed to question or else, you know, their power person goes ballistic.
Well, and it's interesting that ballistic thing.
90 seconds.
Well, that was interesting. Now we have a girlfriend that's coming.
We're down to 90 seconds.
Yeah, that's interesting. It usually announces that on the on my end with the host phone. I'm not sure how it got in there, but strange.
Well,
we're down to the last few seconds, so we'll just say that it's time to close the show. I'll thank everybody for your participation, Rex. Maybe that next thought you were going to do, you could call in and share with us tomorrow. If you're ready to take your work to the next level, we do have on Monday a 9-day Wise Is Not Meet You Again intensive starting here at Heartland. There is space in it. It's going to be a very small and intimate group with some powerful personal attention. I will be doing a 9-day teacher training to follow that, and then a 16-day Laws of Living, which we're excited about. So delighted that everybody's going to be joining us, and we ask you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Share the tools with somebody. And give the world the best gift you can possibly give. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.